right, Tom, Mom, welcome to another episode of the Chad Prather Show. It's Thursday, so welcome to Canada Day. I hope everybody's celebrating, having a great Canada Day. We'll talk more about that in a minute. The Puppet Master Mark, the Perfectionist Puppet Master Mark is what we're going to start calling him now. You guys have no idea how perfectionist he is, that guy. And I appreciate it. It's not a criticism. Driving us into the nether regions, I have no idea where we're going today. All things Canada, maybe. I don't know. Candice, the queen of the Ethiopians, with an ethnicity to be named later. We don't know. We just don't know what you are. But you're cute. And that's condescending. Over at the pub, Party Foul is holding down the fort with Huey Ton. And, of course, Hot News Natalie. Hot News, Natalie. We talk about Canada because one of my favorite, I only have two favorite Canadians. And I love Canada. I do. I love parts of Canada. But she's our special guest today, the host of Blaze TV's pseudo-intellectual, Lauren Chen. Lauren Chen, everybody.
Thank you so much. I'm so honored, you know, of all of us. I'm top two. It's pretty good.
I mean, how weird is that we were able to come in? Yeah, you are top two. Allison, everybody knows Allison, is from Calgary. Allison is my assistant. She's a sister I never had, so
Calgary Allison, is better where I'm from in Canada.
That you think
is
so?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I do love going to Alberta, though. Yeah. It is some beautiful, beautiful place. I love going to Banff, Lake Louise. I love it up there. That, and they pay me sometimes. They let me come do shows up there, so it's a good time. But thank you for coming on the show. We're going to have fun today. Don't tell anybody, but you are my favorite Blaze TV host. Okay.
Shucks.
No, it's true.
Thank you.
You know it's true. You know it's true. You're the only person that is gone and shotguns with me. Everybody else is chicken. And so we had fun that day. Talk about that some more. But you are my favorite. I don't like anyone else that works for this network. I really don't.
No.
Ali Stuckey has accepted the mark of the beast. Stuber Gear. I don't know if y'all know it or not. Socialist. Total socialist. Yeah, he's just banking off of you guys. Bottom line, he's anti-Trump. He's a never-Trump. He's a socialist. He's for the DSA. He is Democratic Socialist of America.
Actually, it's funny you mentioned that last time I was here. He tried to talk me into joining a commune.
Yeah.
That's probably where that was from.
Yeah. They people like you, they try to get in there. They want you to have a bunch of babies. It's weird. So we're going to have fun today. Obviously, we're going to have fun. And it's always intimidating having Lauren around because she's so dang smart.
Oh.
She's just so dang smart. And I love it. Anyway. Here's what I want to do. We're going to do this. We're going to go at it. You guys know working from home, it's driving up the worst type of cybercrime that you can imagine, home title theft. We're doing it all from home these days. We're working. We're banking. Video conferences, meal deliveries. Steve, I think Steve's doing meal deliveries right now. If y'all want Steve to come to your house.
I'm only moments away from doing that.
Oh, Steve, you're not going hungry. Cyber criminals, they're on the computers too, and they're targeting our homes. Actually, they want the money they can get by taking out loans against your home. How do they do that? Well, it's called home title theft. FBI is warning homeowners that home title theft is one of the fastest growing crimes in America today. How do you fix that? How do you take care of it? How do you protect yourself? It's Home Title Lock. It will protect your home from cyber thieves because your home's legal title, it's online. Everybody can find it. Forge your signature, state you sold your home to them. They'll then take out loans on your home and leave you in debt. Banks, the insurance companies, basic identity theft services, they're not going to protect you. Home Title Lock, though, is going to put a virtual barrier because we believe in walls around here. It's going to build a wall around your home's title. So protect your home now. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. Register your address. See if you're already a victim. Use code CHAD. They'll give you 30 free days of protection to help you through these lean times right now. Code CHAD, HomeTitleLock.com. Go there today. Hang tight. We'll be right back. So to correct myself, because I'm a dummy, Canada Day was, of course, yesterday. But it doesn't matter, because nobody's paying attention to what Canada's doing anyway.
Sad.
Yeah, well, it's true. I want to know this, Lauren. As a Canadian, do you guys kind of feel like right now y'all are the tenants in the apartment above the meth lab? Because America is in shambles right now. I mean, you guys have to feel that way, right? How is Canada viewing America right now?
Well, I mean, everyone's kind of like, all right, I know we were trashing Trump because of the wall before, but maybe we could have our own wall. Maybe keep the Americans south of the border. What, but you know what? Now that you mentioned the whole like kind of drug dealer analogy, it's almost as if though, instead of just like crackheads keeping to themselves as they rarely do, you guys are actually starting to like mess things up for us. We've had Black Lives Matter protests in Montreal and Toronto, which makes no sense.
Y'all don't have any black people.
No, we have like four.
You're like the, I think Canada's like the least racist country in the world.
Yeah, and I mean, even if you look at our history, we did some pretty messed up stuff to the natives. Mm-hmm. You know, mea culpa. But there's like, we didn't have black slavery in Canada. So like they're just trying to export the whole ideology and putting it onto Canada. It's like, this is a totally different country, but I don't think those people care. It's because, I mean, culturally, America and Canada are really similar. So it's, I feel like all the crazy politics, we're getting them too.
You're getting it, right? And that's why, like, they started really kind of looking at that whole border wall and even kind of starting to really figure out who they want to let in back and forth.
I mean, Mexico's building one. Yeah. Point. I mean, like, you know what? Never mind.
Trump said he'd get Mexico to pay for it. Here it is. Yeah, this is the shopping mall has gone crazy in North America. That is the truth. But that you bring up a good point, because if they're protesting there, first of all, these Black Lives Matter protests that I'm seeing around the country, and I've witnessed them firsthand, there's really not a lot of black people involved.
No.
It's mostly these privileged white kids that are out there.
Yeah, and that, I think it goes to show that this is about an ideology and a narrative. It's not actually like the way they want to portray it as just black people rising up and kind of wanting self-determination representation. Like, no, it's a left-wing ideology that is mostly embraced by, frankly, kind of upper middle class, mostly privileged white people.
That's why I said white. Yeah, I mean, privileged white kids.
They're the ones
that don't need a job. They came out of the basement, the proverbial basement. They feel guilty for being white, so they go out there and do this. They're not lazy. They purposefully pull themselves back in order to give people of color, quote unquote, a chance, an opportunity that they probably would have because they're white.
Yeah. And by the way, speaking of that, if you ever want to pull back and give me this set, I would accept it as a woman of color.
No!
Yeah.
No, I'm a man, I'm a male, and I get it. This is a nice set, though, isn't it?
It is very nice.
Things like this could be yours if you move to Texas.
I have heard that.
From Toronto.
No, Montreal.
Montreal,
even,
too.
I was going to say even worse, but I don't know if that's true.
I don't know why I always say Toronto with you.
Yeah.
Montreal.
It's because I'm speaking English, so that's not a thing. The bonjour. People where I do.
You can have a bar on your set, and I'd come sit at it.
Yeah,
I don't think she's going to have a bar on her set. I just don't think that is a Lauren Chen vibe. I really don't. Your show is so smart, though. It's so insightful. And it bugs me when I see individuals like yourself who are so dang intelligent and insightful with the realities of what's going on. How difficult is it for you? Because obviously you have to comment a lot on culture. You have to comment a lot on politics, American politics. How hard is that as a Canadian to pay attention to everything that's going on?
Well, I mean, I would say it's hard, but American politics, I think they pretty much dominate the English-speaking world, right? Because in Canada, a lot of our news, it's related to American stuff politically, even culturally, right? Everything culturally in Canada is pretty much like we're talking about the same celebrities, the same TV shows. Canadian TV shows, not good.
Right. No, it's horrible.
Good. Yeah, really
What's
bad.
The comedy show, the weekly deal?
For Laughs?
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty good, but it's like oftentimes you turn on the TV and you can just, you get a sense like, uh-oh. Seems Canadian. You know, there's something about it. Production level's not as good. Everyone's a little bit less good looking. It's just, it's not a fun time.
That explains William Shatner, right?
Yeah. Bill Shatner, so clean.
Yeah, but even like American politics too. It's like I was saying with the Black Lives Matter, it's all coming up. We have all of the same crazy issues we're dealing with, the gender stuff. And even in the UK, they have Black Lives Matter protests going on in the UK.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So it's like, I feel like we're becoming more culturally, like it's globalization as well with all of these issues.
Well, it is, and it's also a moneymaker. It is like, do Black Lives Matter? Yes, of course Black Lives Matter, but when it comes a political ism, that's when, and a moneymaker that obviously goes to Act Blue every time you donate to Black Lives Matter, and it goes right into the pocket of the Joe Biden Democrat campaign. What's your opinion on Joe Biden? I mean, the good, the bad, and the ugly. What's your opinion on Joe Biden?
I saw a poll saying most people do believe he has early onset dementia. I'm not sure about the early part. I feel like we're pretty we're pretty advanced. I
would stepped just, off into it about knee deep.
Yeah, I would just love to see like the actual debate between him and Trump, because I don't know how he's gonna string together any sentences. And usually when he's on with like MSNBC and stuff, they'll gloss over the incoherent ramblings. You know Trump is gonna call him out on it and say, that doesn't, what are you talking about? That makes no sense. So I'm excited for that. And I actually don't know if you've seen, there's like Joe Biden Mad Libs going around online where you just like take random verbs and nouns and you try to string together a Joe Biden sentence. Pretty good.
Another one that I've seen is, what was it? It said, just let Google complete your Joe Biden speech, where it goes, you know, listen, Jack, or something like that. And then you'll see what starts to auto-populate as you type that word in, and you'll get a Joe Biden speech. I can't wait to see that. I think it will be the highest ratings in the history of television. I think so. The first debate will be the highest ratings in the history of television. I'll be there. I will cancel everything. I will be there.
Are we sure they're going to have an actual face-to-face debate?
They have to.
Maybe no audience, though.
They may not have an audience, but they have to have a debate. You know, Trump's pushing for 4. They've agreed to 3. If I was Trump, I'd push for all that I could.
Yeah.
I think they're going to accuse him of elder abuse. I'm foreseeing that. They'll figure out a way to twist it to make it about elder abuse.
Now, do you think that Biden is going to win? Because I keep seeing all of these polls saying, oh, you know, he's taking the lead.
I don't think Joe Biden can win a fair election.
Right.
Mm. And so it depends on how they cheat. Right? Yeah. So, like, if it doesn't require a voter ID, and I can wear a mask to the polls, I mean, I could vote like 12 times.
Never mind the mail-in ballots that they're trying to do now. And I boggles my mind as someone who like didn't grow up in the United States that voter ID is controversial. Like, right. I still do not like every other country.
I know.
Literally every other country, you need ID, and it's either provincial or federal or whatever it is. Like, you have to have something. You can't just come up with. So the fact that this has become politicized and people are trying to make it about racism, I do not understand.
And that's the crazy thing, because not only is it controversial, it's racist.
Yeah,
that's just insane. I mean, to me,
you have to have your ID to get a library card, to get welfare, to
so Texas asks for an ID, right? We do that here.
Yeah.
I don't know how, like, say Austin, Houston, or Dallas does it. So that's my current thing, the problem children of Texas. Mm-hmm. Houston, Austin, Dallas. If anything's going on in Texas, it's going to be Houston, Austin, or Dallas. They're the problem kids. So I don't know how they do things. But I know where I live in the Fort Worth area, you got to show your ID. But that's not true nationwide.
Yeah, which boggles my mind, because I mean, in Canada, we had our elections last year. I had to show my ID. Like, I couldn't just show up at the polls without like doing the whole registration thing. It's like everything that the left says is so terrible, white supremacist, whatever. It's like if you go to any other country, that's actually the norm. So where this like fictitious country is where this doesn't apply, I don't even know. Because if any country was going to have a really bad anti-racist policy, you'd think it'd be Canada. We still ID.
We still ID. How many candidates did y'all have running for?
Oh, gosh. So real candidates, like with a chance of winning, 2.
Yeah.
But then there were like 3 other people, which I voted for one of the other people because I didn't like the main 2. Mm-hmm. So I was like my vote where I live doesn't matter, to be honest. But it's basically 2, like a quote unquote right wing, even though they are not right by any standards. They're like center left. But in Canada, that's all right. And then the Liberal Party.
If you heard the talk, and I don't know how, I know it's a big deal, like in Alberta, which is Western Canada, where they've talked secession, they've talked about pulling out. And I mean, that's become a real conversation there.
I am fully on board. I think they call it Wexit, like Western Canada exit. I am fully on board. I support it because the way it works in Alberta is that they have all the oil money, right? But we have these things called equalization payments. So a poor province, like where I'm from, Quebec, we are takers from the federal government. So we take money, and people in Alberta have to pay for us, have to support us. But right now, Alberta didn't vote for the government that's in right now.
Right.
So it's pretty much they feel like, okay, hang on, we don't like these policies that are coming out. We have to pay for everybody. You know, we have like, it's like the Quebec is kind of like the brother in the family that kind of got hooked on drugs and is just living on your basement. That's like us as a province, which I accept. So it's, I mean, it's a raw deal for them. And yeah. there's such a cultural division right now. They're not getting represented. So I honestly think that for things to be more harmonious and fair for the Albertans and for the Quebecers, because, right, like, it's like no one's happy now with the almost middle ground we have. I do think it would be better.
I'd move up there.
Yeah.
Like if Alberta moved out, I mean, I don't know about how cold it is.
It's very cold.
I know. So, like, you never know. Some people are like, well, it's 13 degrees, but a wind chill of -3. Well, then it's -3.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's not 13.
Oh, you can get -40.
-23.
Oh, -40. You can get -40 in Alberta. Horrible.
But it wasn't, because there's always a moral issue that's there. Everybody always, like, the George Floyd thing is the moral issue right now for all this crazy stuff that's going on, this activism that has nothing to do with George Floyd right now. But wasn't it they were trying to stop it because they couldn't build the railroads or the pipeline or whatever because it was going across the lands of indigenous people? Wasn't that a big conversation out of with the Wexit thing?
Yeah.
And they were basically kind of shutting Alberta's argument down with a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the main party in Canada, they're super, they make the Democrats look reasonable, right? They make the Democrats look center-right. So the Liberal Party, run by Justin Trudeau, you know, Blackface Trudeau, as he's sometimes called, they are very, very pro anything to do with, like, cap and trade, no pipelines, things like that. And Alberta's kind of like, hang on, we have all this oil. Like, we want to get it to people. Other people want to buy it. Why can't we? And they're like, no, because indigenous stuff, there's pipelines, as I'm sure you guys know, running all over the continent. Sure. It's not really like it's a new thing. And it's a lot safer to transport oil that way than with trucks and things like that, because you reduce the risk of, like, spills and, like, user error more when it comes to drivers. But they're just getting a really raw deal. And actually, Quebec, we've had our own separatist movement for the longest time.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, very pro-Quebec, but I'm pro-Canada. I would actually vote to separate, just so that at least other Canadian provinces wouldn't have to keep paying for us. But it's kind of a similar thing to what you're seeing in the states. The more conservative states are kind of being bullied by a federal government, and vice versa. Everyone's unhappy, civil unrest. And I feel like the balkanization, it's got a the countries weren't always what they were. What they are now. So I don't know. I'm very pro, like, let's talk about this. Yeah. You know, separating.
I'm 100% into the conversation. And when I say I would move to Alberta, I'm serious.
Maybe instead we could create Texit.
Yeah. Well,
and
that's
you just
thing,
come down here.
But you got the problem children. You got Austin, well, Dallas, and Houston.
Isn't there a conversation Texas about, like, West Texas wanting to separate from them?
There is that conversation that's out there. There's also the argument that can be made that Texas never fully ratified their statehood. Mm-hmm. So technically they're still their own country. That legal argument can be made. Of course, they were a country, then they became a state, but did they ever truly, was their statehood ever ratified? There's an argument there. By the letter of the law, no, they did not. Verbally, yes, they did. But anyway, that's a whole other conversation.
Well, actually, speaking of, like, you know, separating new places, now that I think Chaz has somewhat set a precedent of new city states, I have been floating around the idea to several people I know of a new compound, right? I mean, if they can have their own autonomous zone, why can't conservatives maybe do the same, right? Just go into a very liberal city, kick them all out. They don't have guns. They won't do anything. They won't fight back. And just, like, establish a better place and actually have a Chaz that works that doesn't have 5 shootings within a week. I think we could do it.
Yeah.
And we could, like, take somewhere from California from them because it's nicer weather. And again, like, what are they going to do?
Yeah, they're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
Just go in there and take it.
Yeah.
And look how prosperous our 6 blocks will be.
Exactly.
You can never let somebody like Party Foul Steve run that, though. They will be like, we don't wear pants on Wednesday.
Naked Tuesday.
Yeah, the Party Foul Zone.
Monday. No pants Monday. But
Yeah. And you take every Friday off, right?
Sure.
Just 4-day work day, and those are only 6 hours. So anyway.
It'd be a proud, free, and prosperous nation. Yeah. I believe in it.
I got some good questions to ask you. Hang tight. We'll be right back. Lauren Chen, the host of Pseudo Intellectual. I love that name. And by the way, that is my favorite t-shirt.
Oh, really?
I wear it everywhere. I wear the Pseudo Intellectual t-shirt everywhere. And people are always like, where can I get that shirt? I'm like, well, first of all, you need to subscribe to Lauren Chen Show.
Of course.
You need to be watching it. You can get blazetv.com/, what is your code? Is it
Usually it was like Lauren 20 for a little bit, or yeah. Lauren.
Yeah, either way, two. Go find her.
You can't even spell pseudo-intellectual.
We know.
That's a big word.
Yeah, you're pseudo-insane. But it is my favorite t-shirt. I wear that thing all the time. I get compliments on it all the time.
See, like, I would wear Sharon's it,
right there.
But it has my name on it, so yeah. It's a bit much even
it's
for
great.
Me.
Yeah. But I love it. So I want to ask you, do you think Joe Biden can win this thing?
Oh, gosh, I don't know, because I'm inherently distrustful of the polls, which makes sense. But I feel like everything that's going on, it could go either way. People are going to see how crazy the left is and say, hang on, I don't want someone who's president that actually supports that kind of thing. Or they could look at Trump, who's, I mean, I don't really think it's all his fault, because, again, he's not king. He can't just bring the army into places like Minneapolis. But they might look at what's going on and say, see, Trump, he's unable to take care of everything. We need to get someone else in. So I could see voters going with both options. I mean, obviously, I hope that Trump wins, but I think, like, with the economic downturn and the COVID and now the riots, things aren't looking as sure for him as they were earlier this year, let's say January.
On a scale of one to insanity, where do you place Donald Trump?
I like him. He's sassy on Twitter, but I think he's done a lot more to actually push conservative policies through than the establishment conservative or quote conservative Republicans ever did. So, I mean, he's not Prince Charming. I don't think anyone's arguing that he is, but he's been effective. I wish he would be a little bit more. And I don't know if you guys follow Cassandra Fairbanks, but she recently put out on Twitter, I wish Trump would take the opportunity now to be the authoritarian law and order guy that the far left always tells people that he is.
Yeah, now you have, who was it, Gavin Newsom this week, who was basically telling Trump, you need to mandate these face masks.
Yeah.
So now they've always accused him of being a dictator. Now they're telling him to be a dictator.
Yeah, not dictator enough now, so it's hard.
So it's kind of funny when you see that. I like Trump, too. I think he's funny. Mm-hmm. I think he's got a lot of personality there.
I think he's playing everybody on Twitter. Like, it's so tongue-in-cheek, a lot of it, and people take it. He knows it gets them fired up, and I think it's just...
Yeah. He's a comedian. And timing.
Mm-hmm. And even behind the scenes, he's done a lot for things like trying to limit things like refugee flows and things. Like, he's been more effective than even I think a lot of news stations give him credit for, besides the economy. But gosh, right now with everything going so crazy, I think it's hard to, again, like, they could look at it and say, look how crazy the left is, I don't want more of that. Or they could say, look how ineffective Donald Trump is. I don't know what people are gonna choose.
I don't know. I mean, I keep using the analogy, if a crazy guy was giving me stock tips that were really successful, I wouldn't really care how crazy he was. I'd just keep buying his stocks, right? If it's good for business, it's good for business. And obviously Trump drove he did great things for the economy. Mm-hmm. The job numbers, the creation, all of those things were great. He found that magic wand that apparently Barack Obama couldn't find. And I think if people would just give him a little bit of support and stop with all these personal attacks, just get behind him a little bit. And even the GOP is not doing that right now. I mean, they're just standing back.
Yeah,
they're afraid to be in that barn fire, I guess. I don't know. Huey, what do you think? You think Biden's got a shot in hell?
No.
No? Okay.
Oh, well, we still have 4 months until the elections.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
things can happen.
Yeah.
So at this point, I don't think Trump is doing that great.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have 4 months.
I think you're right. I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that as far as Trump's concerned. I agree with that assessment, too. I've caught some hell for that. And I'm pro-Trump. Look, the guy won me over a long time ago. Before he became president, he won me over. I wasn't a Trump fan. He won me over. And various reasons why. It depends, I think, on who Joe Biden picks to run with him. Because he doesn't live on the planet, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not there. He's not 100%.
Well, and in Trump's defense, we're in the 7th level of Jumanji. I mean, a lot of this is, it's like Twilight Zone crap. I mean, America was great.
Yeah.
At the end of last year.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, even the murder hornets are like, no, we're good. We're not coming over.
We'll come back next year.
Yeah, we're going to revisit.
Like I said last week, I hope 2020 is not the trailer for 21.
Seriously.
That's kind of spooky. I don't know. We'll see what goes on. It's going
to
be interesting.
His vice president choice has to be a black woman, if I'm understanding him.
That's
what
he said by his own admission.
It's pretty much Kamala, I mean.
I would think.
Yeah.
But that is the exact, I mean, that would, where the word token comes from, and that's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
And well, I don't like to use that term, but that's...
So, you know, not long ago, the Rasmussen poll, which tends to be reasonably accurate, said 34, he had 34% of the black vote. Okay, well, if you got 18, that's a 18%, that's a landslide. If that number is still anywhere accurate, which, Huey, you've said over and over again, it's going to take the black conservative male voices, or yes, black conservative voices.
Black conservatives can save this country.
Yeah. Yeah, it's those folks speaking up and speaking together, and we do have some great black conservatives in this country whose voices are being heard.
Look, we actually still have 4 months to the election, so a lot can happen.
A lot can happen.
That's true. I mean, 4 months ago, we weren't in lockdown. Like, no one was worried about coronavirus here. Look what happened. But actually, it might be kind of, I think he wants to choose a black, Biden wants to choose a black female VP so he can, like, kind of court the black community. It might be great for Trump if he actually does pick Kamala, because Kamala, despite being black, very unpopular.
Yeah.
With black voters. I mean, Kamala the cop, right? She's had a lot of people complain about her record when she was in California. And
put a lot of pot smokers in jail.
Yeah, and laughed about it, too.
Laughed about it.
Yeah, that would be good.
You think if Joe Biden, gets elected, do you think coronavirus virtually disappears on November 4th?
Yeah, no one's going to care anymore.
Yeah, it's done. It's a done deal. What are your thoughts on this whole thing? Because y'all have been under a real lockdown.
Yes.
In Canada.
We were like, you could be fined if you had anyone over. I mean, it was really... We didn't have people like getting fined for just going in a drive alone in their car. Like, I know they were... happened a couple times in the States, but it was very strict. We're just starting now to ease up. I think what was kind of reassuring was that our hospitals never got overcrowded. I mean, we had deaths, which was very sad, but I think it's just in general, it wasn't what we were worried about in like March or whatever when we started locking down. Not to say that you just go around looking doorknobs or whatever, like be careful, wash your hands. I was surprised to see how many people apparently weren't just regularly washing their hands. It's like, this should not be new behavior. We should not have to explain how to do this. I don't know. I'm kind of optimistic that when we start going back to normal, it's not going to be kind of this overrun thing like everyone was worried about. But with that being said, I think we do need to be prepared for the fact that when things do kind of start to open up, it will be normal to see a little bit of an increase in cases, but hopefully that doesn't cause a huge surge in deaths or anything, which is actually what we were seeing in Texas, right? The cases were increasing, but deaths were still
the mortality
declining.
Was down.
Yeah, which is good. I think it's hard to not get swept up with the fear mongering, though, because people are scared because it is new.
People are scared. They don't know what to do with it. Yeah. You know, I don't like the term new normal, but here it is. I mean, we've got it. Even when things go away, I think people are still going to be putting their masks on and going out and teach their own. Did you have any problem coming into the country?
Actually, no. And I was not, like, I wanted to come down, film with everybody here, but I had no idea how that was going to work. I was like, am I allowed? I don't even know. And I wanted to, you know, my brother's going to be here. My parents wanted to come see him. They were like, are we allowed? I had no idea. It actually wasn't bad. The U.S., from what I can tell, you can only not enter the U.S. if you've been to, China or a couple other, hot zone countries. But I was fine getting into the U.S. Where there's a problem is you can only re-enter Canada if you are, a citizen, resident or family member or essential service. And people are talking about how the border is locked down between Canada and the U.S. That's only the land border. So it only applies to driving in. You can still fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Allison, as I mentioned earlier, everybody knows Allison. We went into Calgary literally a week before everything started locking down and shutting down and stuff. And we did an event there. And I was glad we went in when we did, because, man, the world went crazy a week later. So I don't know. It's a weird thing. And I've got strong opinions. Everybody that watches this show, you know, I have strong opinions on the whole thing. So I'm gonna hush. But I'm glad you didn't have trouble. Now you might not get to go home.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Or so there's a 2-week quarantine thing.
Yeah.
That people have to do, but apparently you don't need to quarantine if you're considered an essential worker, because then Corona knows you just don't spread from this person. That's okay. So I don't know. I'll see what happens. I mean, I don't really leave the house much anyway. I have a home studio, so it'll probably be fine. But I don't know. I'm for being cautious always, because germs are bad. But it's just, I feel like a lot of the measures that are in place to, quote, protect people don't really make sense when you think about it from I know there was Fox News that went viral. The medical professionals were saying, gatherings of more than 10 people are not allowed, or protests of more than 100. It's like, oh, it's cool. That is a very politically active virus that can tell the difference.
Yeah. And the mayor of Houston, one of our problem children, the mayor of Houston, of course, came out the other day talking about how We really got to mask up. We got to social distance. We got to stay at home. But here he was speaking to thousands of people at a Black Lives Matter rally just a week ago. So what's it going to be, man? The hypocrisy is amazing.
Maybe you either have a mask or Black Lives Matter sign.
That's right.
Both are equally effective at protecting you against
coronavirus. That's why we're having Black Lives Matter protests at the local bar down where we live. So that's what we do. It's a protest. They can't do a damn thing about it. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk all things guns with Lauren Chin. Hang tight. So the last time you were in town, you and Liam, your fiance, the last time y'all were in town, we went over to Texas Gun Experience, which is, of course, Natalie's family's gun range over in Grapevine.
Beautiful range.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, it's the second to none. I mean, it's really great. And you'd never actually fired a gun, or you had fired one, right?
Yeah, I fired guns like a couple times. Pretty much just, hey, fire this. Cool. And I definitely never fired, held anything. An automatic weapon, so that was
and for you gun nuts out there who are going, well, she doesn't know what she's talking about, automatic weapon. No, she was firing automatic weapons.
Yeah.
We were in there, it was like, what, 4 or 5 different machine guns.
Yes.
In there, you can go back and see the episode. That it was her episode. She had me on acting like I knew what I was talking about, and I really don't. I just know where the bang bang switch is.
Yeah, and it's so funny because I totally stereotyped you for that episode. Right. I was like, I want to do something with Chad. Like, oh yeah, we can go shooting. And then I realized, like, when we got there, like, do you like, you like guns, right? Because I kind of looked at
you. Like, no, you do know something about this, right? Like,
you probably own some guns.
But we had fun. I got a scar actually on the back. It's hard to see now. I got a scar on the back of my forearm there. Because we were laying down, we were shooting that deal, and that shell came out, and it rolled underneath my bare arm, and it was hot, and it blistered me. But man, what a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was an experience. I've never done anything like that. And I don't think, like, I've had Canadians say, oh, we have guns in Canada. It's like, not those. Those are prohibited, super prohibited.
Yeah, you're talking like man killers, like designed with one thing in mind, and that is to kill people. Those are real deals.
How do y'all murder people in Canada?
It's non-existent.
No, we just mostly stick to knives like the Brits do. Or actually, it's funny. Well, not funny. It's terrible. But gun crime is on the rise in places like Montreal and Toronto. But it's like, hang on. I thought it was illegal to murder people. How is this happening? Yeah. No one knows. But yeah, and our Prime Minister Blackface, he just pushed a bunch of like new gun ban things with the emergency powers he granted himself because of coronavirus. We could see why that would make sense to do in response to coronavirus. Yeah, it's getting even stricter up in Canada.
It's getting stricter, and it's funny how that happens, because they've had gun use on the rise in Britain as well, in many cases statistically. When you see Justin Trudeau, do you just think testosterone?
No. I think a lot of things. Not testosterone.
Not a lot of masculinity there.
They got shots for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that there's enough shots on the planet to help JT. But, yeah, I feel for you guys with that deal.
No, it's scary.
That guy's something else.
Yeah. And especially, like, we're seeing, I don't know, you guys must have seen, like, the memed couple outside of their, defending their mansion.
I was going to bring that one up, yeah.
Super cool, but it's scary because in Canada, we don't have the option to do that. Self-defense is not recognized as a right. You cannot use firearms for self-defense. So it's like, if that couple were in Canada, they pretty much would just have to lay back and watch their property be destroyed.
Yeah. So, you know, of course, what you're referring to is the folks in St. Louis. They're both personal injury lawyers living in the Taj Mahal. I mean, this place is a museum.
Can
you see the pictures of the inside? I mean, it's ornate. It's a little much for me, but it's just a gorgeous museum of a place, right? And they come out there, and they are the perfect caricature of Ken and Karen, you know, and just come out there with their guns, totally not handling them properly.
Yeah.
Zero training. And just to see them was a meme in and of itself. Mm-hmm. Here he is in his light. I mean, I want to be that guy on Halloween, right?
That would be good.
What?
They succeeded in keeping their home safe.
Well, they did. I mean, there's no question about it. They did that. I mean, when you storm the gate, you break into the personal gate, come out on somebody's lawn. It's a Gavin McInnes moment in that moment. Get off my lawn. And they come out there waving that thing around. Half the time they were waving it at each other, which was funny. And, people are screaming, eat the rich. What I say they should have done is waited till the first Molotov cocktail was thrown. Then you start lighting that ass up. Now we're cooking, Ken. Yeah, we just want a grill. But, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I think you're going to see more and more happen here, though, where people try to encroach the suburbs.
Yeah.
Because the inner city folks, the urban areas, that's its own beast here, you get out in there and start messing with the people that want to be left alone. That's a whole other animal.
And I think this is going to sound bad, but I think there is like a class issue at play here. Like, I mean, the shootings in Chicago, riots in Chicago, no one bats an eye, right? It's Chicago,
right?
Par for the course. But I think when people start seeing it's coming to their own neighborhoods, then they're going to start freaking out a little bit.
Yeah. So now you got the cul-de-sac commandos. you got the rooftop Koreans.
Yeah.
Love those guys. Just getting up there. I mean, they're sniping.
They get down in Johnson County, it'll be the meth head maniacs.
That was by Steve Powell, Party Foul. You can email him at steve@watchchad.com.
I love Johnson County, by the way.
Yeah.
Because I live in Tarrant.
Yeah, pretty interesting stuff there. Again, I don't care what's going on in the trailer parks. No offense to those of you watching from the trailer parks. But it's just not... There are class issues that are going on. There's culture issues that are going on. This thing is so not skin color.
Yes, and what frustrates me is when they try to like address these issues as it's just skin color, as if people who are white and poor in the inner cities don't still have the same problems where they don't have good schools, where they don't feel safe in their neighborhoods, and it's actually offensive because you're essentially conflating being black with being poor, which is not
Joe Biden
at
said
all.
That.
Yeah. What is it? Poor kids are just as smart
as white kids.
As a Freudian slip.
Oh, boy, howdy. That's when he was just really getting started as the gaffe master. I mean, he said a lot of things over the years, but wow. I mean, he said that, Obama was, articulate. First articulate, smart, good-looking black guy. I mean, come on, this is a fairy tale, man.
Yeah. Bad. It's bad, but also, I mean, that's the kind of discussion of whatever happened with George Floyd. I know so many conservatives who are like, yes, this was wrong. Let's talk about proper use of force and things like that. But for these people, unless you want to say that it was systemic racism and like a racist murder, then they don't want to hear it. So it's like, we can't even address the problems because we're coming at it from two different angles.
And then in just a matter of 3 weeks, it became politicized with this reform bill that comes out. And, Tim Scott comes out. He's a GOP. He's a Republican. He's a black Republican. He comes out. And, of course, they're calling him every name under the sun. Yeah. And immediately they decline that. They're like, no, we don't want that. So you go from being outraged at the death of George Floyd because of a bad cop in a horrendous situation to you're turning down this reform bill for police. I'm like, what do you want? What do you want? I mean, let's start somewhere. But the problem is, and I posted the meme the other day on Instagram where it says, you have all these cops, then you got a few bad cops. You got all these ministers, you got a few bad ministers. All these surgeons, a few bad surgeons. I said, then you got a few politicians and all these bad politicians. So it's that same thing. What were you going to say, Steve?
I was just going to say, it seems like if there is a thing, systemic racism, it's in Democratic cities.
Mm-hmm. Every one of them.
It's been there forever.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
They got to fix that.
Yeah. I hate that. Does the term systemic racism bother you? Systemic? Does that bug you? Do you feel like it's overused?
Yeah, I mean, it's overused because I feel like it's usually applied to things that are not systemic. I mean, I've seen like viral video clips of, there's one this other day, like this Karen, she flipped me off while she was driving. This is another example of systemic racism. It's like, is it though, when it has nothing to do with the system?
No. There's
and it's
no
just literally
system.
An individual? Yeah, so that's frustrating.
Unless they're training Karens. The government's training all these Karens.
Yeah, a bunch of
covert
Karens.
They're doing a good job training them if they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of managers being called. But it is frustrating, especially because we have this idea now that if there are imbalances at the end result, right? Let's say one group doing better than the other group, then there's no possible explanation for it aside from systemic bigotry, yeah. Whether, and we see like whether it's the wage gap with men and women, systemic sexism, disparities in arrest records for like black populations versus white populations, systemic racism. And it's frustrating because these people have one answer: discrimination. And that's all they'll talk about.
That's all they're going to talk about. And it solves nothing at the end of the day. That's the kind of stuff you're going to get if you watch Pseudo Intellectual. And you can listen to it where podcasts are offered. I'm telling you guys, you got to do that. You got to do us a solid. Get over there, rate, review, do all those things.
Unless it's a bad review, in which case, no.
We don't accept those here.
And who reads reviews if they're bad?
LC, we don't do that here. Yeah. We only do positive stuff.
The restaurants.
We are ambassadors of positivity. 5-star ratings, good reviews, that's all we do. Y'all hang tight. We'll be right back with more 5-star content. Boy, oh boy. You think it's going to get worse before it gets better? Just everything?
I think so. I mean, things definitely aren't getting better, and they only seem to be getting worse. So, yeah, unfortunately, I'm not too optimistic for the new future.
Yeah. Godzilla's coming.
Mm-hmm.
I think at this stage, though, the aliens, they're flying past and locking their door.
Yeah. Roll them up.
Probably.
I mean, you could just hear the door locks. Interstellar door locks. As they go past.
This is the bad part of the galaxy.
Maybe the
for sure.
Masks are designed to keep the aliens from landing.
Now, Lauren, put you on the spot. How hard is it going to be to get you to Texas?
I don't know.
It's that boy, isn't it? It's that boy.
Well, he is. So we were talking about, you know, establishing new nations. Actually, this is a plan that I've had. Liam is Native American. He has a tribe there. It's like they have their own reserve, their own land. I keep telling him, I'm trying to Lady Macbeth it. You need to overthrow your chief, right? Because then we could actually have like a sovereign nation and make it good.
Yeah.
Apparently he doesn't want to do that. I don't know. I'll keep pushing, though. It is more humid here than I was expecting.
Very much so.
Yeah, I thought it's a desert. It'll be a dry heat. It's nice. I won't have to worry about hair frizziness, mosquitoes. No, both of those things very prominent right now.
So you were complaining about your hair getting frizzy. That's the Irish
part of you.
Yes,
that's moisturizer. You're going to be very thankful.
Yeah.
Really, but look at this kid. Look at this perfect kid.
It's frizzy.
She's never had a bad day in her life. Look at this. Look at this, folks. Look at this. This is what pushing 48 gets you.
Oh, you right know you here. Got those pearly whites. It's like that's the American blinding smile.
I don't even whiten my teeth.
Let's see lucky, that seventh grade blessed. Picture. Come on.
I don't even do it. Yeah, right? Oh, man. We're all, because you're on Parler now. Mm-hmm. Are you real Lauren Chen?
No, I'm just at the Lauren Chen the pretty Lauren much Chen. Everywhere, like Twitter, Instagram, Parler. I'm on TikTok sporadically. It takes a while to make TikTok, so I don't really post there much.
It takes a long time. Yeah,
definitely Twitter, Parler, Instagram, at the Lauren Chen.
Follow her on Parler. There's been a mass exodus. I think they've added like a million followers in the last week.
Cool.
Yeah, Parler. People, they're like, well, it's still kind of glitchy. Well, they don't have billions of dollars like Twitter does.
Mm-hmm. And they're not selling our data either, which is where a lot of the other big tech companies get their money from.
The data, there's no algorithm to speak of in that regard. You can't use hate speech and stuff like that. They will monitor that, but you can pretty much, I mean, kind of the gloves are off for me on Parler. I cuss a little.
I'm misgendering people on there. It's a fun time. I feel kind of like renewed and like a little bit crazy.
I don't worry about pronouns and all that. Yeah, it's good stuff. Thank you for coming on. Thanks for hanging out. Always a pleasure. We need to go shoot guns again when you move to Texas. Hey, guys, if you want more content from Lauren Chen, and you do want it, I promise you, Pseudo Intellectual, go to blazetv.com. Sign up for an annual subscription. You can visit my website, watchchad.com. We got a lot of fun stuff going on over there for Hot News Natalie, for Party Foul, for my man Huey over there, keeping it real, baby, keeping it real. And, of course, the puppet master and Candice, the queen of the Ethiopians. Thank you. Rate us, review us. We love you. God bless. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.